Welcome to the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing, brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. In this program, a conversation with Richard Chess and Robert Kaplan, both attorneys with expertise in commercial real estate, securities, and investment. Rick is the managing partner of Chess Law Firm. His practice focuses on commercial real estate transactions, capital markets, and governance. He also serves as the president of the Real Estate Investment Securities Association, also known as RESA. Previously, Rick served as broker-dealer and as the director of a triple net 1031 company. He's acquired over $2 billion of commercial property and also served as a member of the Pennsylvania General Assembly. He's a graduate of the University of Pittsburgh and earned his Juris Doctor degree from the University of Richmond in Virginia. Robert Kaplan is the managing partner of Kaplan & Frank. Rob's practice is concentrated in the areas of securities, business representation, and real estate investment. He's represented clients in business formation, mergers and acquisitions, general corporate and commercial law, securities compliance, private offerings, and strategic partnerships and joint ventures. Rob's real estate investment practice focuses on securities offerings related to real estate, including syndications, real estate funds, institutional financings of real estate acquisitions, and real estate investment trusts. Richard and Robert, welcome to the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Gentlemen, we're hearing some bits of good news about the commercial real estate landscape, but there are still many commercial loans coming due over the next few years that are going to present some problems for many. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that's right, Steve. I mean, what you're having now is that all the loans that were done 4, 5, 6 years ago, generally the CMBS loans, are all coming due now, and we're faced with questions of how do you find refinancing for those loans.
Rob, the two of you have written about what's happened with the capital markets. I know that some of our listeners are experiencing the realities of the capital markets, but why don't you sum up the current landscape?
Sure, Steve. An ongoing problem has been determining value for a property and the resulting response of the capital markets to those values. I know NAR has written and lobbied Congress about mark-to-market accounting, and brokers know the story of a property that was once worth $10 million with very good performance, but nonetheless has lost $1 million or more of value due to the worldwide collapse in the economic and debt markets. Now, a bank can't turn a blind eye to that fact when they're dealing with their collateral, especially with government regulators' renewed involvement in that process. So banks may only lend up to about 70% of current market value of a commercial property.
And so what that causes a problem is, you know, how do you cover the gap? You have a property that, you know, now they're using a higher cap rate, so it's worth less, and they're doing a smaller percentage of debt available, and there's the gap here. You know, in the old days, you might have gone to a mezz debt lender to cover that gap. They're really not available now. And so what we're suggesting to your members is they look at and help their clients through some various security offerings that might work for them.
So what is it that you're telling your clients when it comes to financing a new transaction?
Yeah, I mean, what we're telling our clients is that the securities markets can be viable both from a formation of either debt or equity financing through a variety of special types of offerings out there. Typically, we see our clients doing some form of equity that has a value-add component in order to raise the capital needed to correct their situation with lenders. Or we can see them going to a group of investors either for a notes offering or even what we call retiring preferred equity, which is legally an equity position, but it has many of the hallmarks mechanically of debt, which provide current yield and a fixed maturity for those investors.
Okay, that's a good start, but these are securities vehicles. So what else would a commercial real estate broker need to know if he or she is going to consider this option?
Well, correct. These are securities vehicles, and any quote-unquote investment contract technically is a security under the law. An investment contract is defined broadly as any contract where investors pool funds in a common enterprise and have the expectation of a profit from the efforts of others. Most securities are regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission, as well as the regulators at each state level. The purpose of this regulation is to provide a disclosure and at the state level a certain quality of the material information and deal aspects that are being offered to the public at the end of the day. The federal scheme achieves this primarily through the registration of the securities with the SEC, which can be a very expensive and time-consuming process.
And I suspect that doesn't sound like something that our audience would happily or easily want to get into.
And that's why we're talking today about the Regulation D. Regulation D, under the securities law, is a way to work around registration, as opposed to, for instance, a client who might have done a fully registered offering. You might have $1 million tied up between attorneys and accountants and printing and what have you. You need to registrate, you do in a Regulation D offering and be in for under $100,000. It's almost a 10-to-1 ratio.
Good. So Reg D or Reg A may be ways for commercial practitioners to help their clients form capital. Talk a little bit more about the rules and how would the broker serve as the connection on such a transaction?
Sure. Regulation D is a regulation promulgated by the Securities and Exchange Commission under the statutory provisions of 4.2 of the Securities Act, which speaks in terms of exempting the transaction, not the security. And in that regard, the statute says that if your offering is a private offering, you do not have to register with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Regulation D is what we call a safe harbor. If you comply with the rules under Regulation D, then you know you qualify as a private offering exempt from registration at the end of the day. There are various rules under Regulation D for the size of investment and number of what are called non-accredited investors can participate in those offerings at the end of the day. The accredited investor standard is generally a standard for determining net worth of individuals or entities that qualify for in the SEC's eyes, for having a certain sophistication which would warrant that they would not need a registration for the securities offering. Typically for individuals, this is $1 million of net worth, excluding the primary residence, or in the case of an income test, $200,000 of income for an individual in the last 2 years with an expectation of that income going forward, or $300,000 for a married couple filing jointly and a reasonable expectation of that going forward. The other real hallmark requirements in Reg D are that you cannot engage in any public solicitation, and generally the securities must be held for investment at the end of the day, and they cannot be held with a view to resale. So under Regulation D, you avoid a lot of the expense and trouble of registration, but these do tend to be illiquid securities at the end of the day, and so people must be prepared to hold these investments for a considerable length of time, not looking to a market arbitrage to create value, but rather for the underlying assets to create value at the end of the day. The other option is Regulation A. Regulation A was promulgated under Section 3B of the Act. So 3B deals with securities that in and of themselves are exempt from registration under the Securities Act. In a Regulation A offering, the issuer is limited to $5 million of offered securities in a 12-month period. And there is a very abbreviated filing process that occurs with the SEC, where the SEC determines that there is an adequate standard of disclosure that has occurred at the end of the day. But it's far less time consuming, far less expensive than the standard registration process. And at the end of the day, those securities are exempt from federal regulation, which means that you're able to engage in public solicitation to sell these securities. You will not be subject to accredited investor requirements, and they can be retraded.
I mean, Steve, the reason we're going through some of this detail is that your members of NAR, your commercial members at NAR, don't need to be attorneys. There are attorneys out there that can help put together the various documents. It's they need to know enough about it and that there are multiple ways of raising capital, whether it's a debt offering, whether an equity offering, so they can go to their clients who, for the most part, what we're finding out there, clients see the loan coming due. It's getting closer and getting closer and getting closer. And their hope has been suddenly the lending markets were going to open up and they're going to go back to lending at 80 or 90% rather than 60. And a hope that the economy was suddenly going to get better and we were going to be, you know, blowing and going and all the values were going to be back. The reality is nobody's coming to rescue us. And if you, as a real estate broker, don't reach out to your clients, say, here's an option. There are ways that we can help you find capital, kind of a self-help approach to finding capital, whether it's Reg A, Reg D, or something called an intrastate offering, which is a much smaller kind of offering, but something that gets them moving. And we find that is the number one problem out there with folks who own commercial real estate with loans coming. It's not that they're not smart. It's not that they don't know how to run the property. They're dealing in a world they've never dealt with before, and they're frozen. The stuff that Rob and I are talking about today is the way to get that process unfrozen.
Well, it's an interesting topic. And while you say that brokers don't need to be lawyers, let me ask you to switch hats, Rick. As I mentioned earlier, you are the current president of the Real Estate Investment Securities Association, and I'm wondering if you could maybe share with the listeners what opportunities there might be for commercial realtors to get involved with that organization.
Probably the best way to get involved, I mean, the Real Estate Investment Securities Association, RESA.org, has two national conferences, one in March, one in October. You'd come to the one in October. It's $200 to attend. It's a very low price. We want real estate brokers there. And you're going to have several opportunities. You will be able to be face-to-face, one-on-one, with the decision-makers who are acquiring billions of dollars of commercial real estate, some of them as low as $2 and $3 million properties. So it's not just the folks buying, you know, downtown office buildings for $100 million. There are buyers there that you don't know that you could meet face-to-face. It's a very, you know, help organization. And then secondly, you'd have all these different sessions to go to, most of them dealing in some way with the whole process of raising capital. So whether you're there to find clients to act as a real estate broker or information on how to help your current clients overcome some of these challenges, it's an ideal low cost. You come in October for 3 days, October 16, 17, 18 at the Mirage, you will come away with contacts and information you cannot get anywhere else.
I know that advocating for commercial practitioners is obviously a high priority for NAR. Are there some ways in which RESA and NAR could or should be cooperating to advocate for mutually beneficial legislation?
Well, the good news is we already have been working together. Rob Kaplan here not only serves on our legislative and regulatory committee, he's the chairman of our capital markets committee. Rob, maybe you can talk about some of the things we've worked on already that kind of help both organizations.
Sure. I think, you know, from that perspective, there are a number of legislative initiatives and regulatory initiatives in the marketplace right now, Steve, that it would be very beneficial for the two organizations to work cooperatively. One of the biggest things going on right now is the fact that that Congress has before it, the House of Representatives has before it legislation that would increase the offering limit for Regulation A from $5 million to $50 million in a 12-month period. Now, whether it goes to $50 million or not, we do think it's very important for Congress to look at this legislation and really increase those limits so that Regulation A can be a very meaningful capital raising tool for a large part of the market out there that has been severely hampered by the changes in the accredited investor requirements that came out of the Dodd-Frank Act, primarily the exclusion of the primary net residence from the calculation of net worth, which has effectively reduced the accredited investor audience for Reg D offerings by 30 to 50%. In addition to what's going on in Regulation A, I think there are a number of places where RESA and NAR could work with the regulatory agencies, for instance, in finding ways where real estate professionals could perhaps work with securities professionals and have a clear understanding of the compensation that could be received without running afoul of 34 Act or regulatory requirements for being a broker under the securities laws in order to receive compensation. So, and I think this is important because while securities practitioners are very knowledgeable of the securities laws, are very knowledgeable of the financial needs of their clientele, and when dealing with real estate, there really is a resource in the members of NAR that these people should be able to access for in order to determine investments that are appropriate for their clients, but also to deal with the workout situations, which have been sort of the discussion topic of this podcast.
Now, when you talk about securities practitioners versus commercial real estate practitioners, I would suspect most commercial real estate practitioners don't have securities licenses. Are there any advantages or even disadvantages for real estate licensees to think about getting securities licenses?
Well, certainly one advantage is if you come to RESA and you learn about the various techniques that Rob and I are talking about today, and you go back and you're working with your client, if you have your securities license and they're doing a Reg D offering, you can actually go out and help them raise the capital, which they then can turn around and help buy real estate, which you as a real estate broker can help them take, you know, take a commission for doing the real estate work. It's called a Series 22, and I would guarantee you that 90% of your commercial members could take that, study for 2 weekends and pass it. It's two-thirds of the course is based on real estate, and it's the course that you need for doing Reg D offering. So I would encourage you. Is there a limitation to it? Yes, because if you are licensed with a securities firm, they need to be aware of what outside business you're doing. So you got to make a decision of, you know, which role you're going to be in. But there are literally thousands of real estate brokers who also have securities licenses, and there's a pretty clear pathway of how they can walk down and work in both worlds.
Are there any types of commercial real estate education courses that RESA offers and any of those that might be valuable towards obtaining one or more securities licenses?
Well, it's an interesting thing. Both NAR and RESA have been helping each other out. I mean, NAR, through the CCIM program, came last October and gave classes to us at our capital formation conference up in Washington recently. Your tax the head of your tax department came and gave us a discussion. In this October session, you will have sessions dealing with all the different components relating to securities. And Daniel Ocean, who's the president-elect, will be soon announcing a certification program for somebody who comes into this business, gets their licenses, and wants to be able to help bridge between the two worlds of securities and real estate. So yes, there are a lot of things. You can go online at reisa.org, and you can get a list of all the courses that we're going to have. Something close to 40 different classes will be taught this October.
Rick and Rob, any other thoughts that you want to convey to the listeners before we wrap things up?
One of the things that I want to say is, as President of RESA and Rob is chair of the Capital Markets Committee, we're looking for ways to help NAR as an organization and the commercial real estate members. So our contact information will be available.
You know, please drop us an email and say, we'd like to know more about X.
So whether it's in our role as attorneys or our leadership in RESA, we want the members of NAR, the commercial members of NAR, to have the tools in their hand to provide the capital to get the whole economy going. What's good for NAR is good for RESA.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add is this is while your members and the audience for this podcast may not be the most seasoned in the securities laws or the securities markets, there is a lot of activity out there right now, especially in the exempt security space. People have been sitting on the sidelines for a number of years, and they're looking for ways now to put their money to work. I think Rick said it very well earlier in this podcast that, you know, what we're trying to do is give a briefing of the issues that your professionals should be aware of to help their client, advise their clients on how maybe to reach out to the capital markets for new ways to raise capital. By all means, they should not feel shy in reaching out to attorneys accountants that could help them sort of get a little more meat on the bones of some of these issues. But with the right people in place, they can provide a very valuable service to their clients.
To the extent that some of your members are active in local real estate organizations and they're looking for speakers, between folks that Rob and I work with around the country, you give us 30 days notice and we can have at your event somebody who knows these issues and can speak well, or if you'd like one of us to be on a conference call with the members of your firm. We're happy to do that, too.
It sounds great. Rick Chess and Rob Kaplan, I want to thank you for joining us on the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks for joining us for another informative Intelligence Briefing Podcast from the Commercial Division of the National Association of Realtors. Join us again for another program in this series. And until then, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.